From KCRW, I'm Kim Masters, and this is The Business.
I don't have any income coming in.
I right now just lost all of my work ahead, and there is nothing being booked in the future. So at this point, it's definitely a little unnerving.
None of us know what's going to happen over the next several months, but what we can control is our reaction to it, to each other.
With Hollywood on hold, we asked workers across the industry, how are you doing? This week, we hear from an actor, a cinematographer, a writer's room production assistant, a costumer, and a filmmaking team. They tell us how their lives have suddenly changed, how they're coping while out of work, and how they think this pandemic could change Hollywood forever. In the weeks ahead, we'll bring you interviews with people who are still working or trying to, including a TV showrunner, an animator, and a late-night host. And we may revisit some interviews with folks whose movies or shows have recently become available to stream. So this is The Business, done remotely. And like many of you, all of us are working one day at a time, maybe 1 hour or 1 minute at a time, and looking forward to the day when we can look at this in the rearview mirror. So in that spirit, we banter from home. Stick around. It's The Business from KCRW. I am in isolation myself, but still somehow joined by my fellow banterer, Matt Bellany of The Hollywood Reporter. Hello, Matt.
Hi there. Happy isolation.
Yeah, it's been a while. Just me and the dog. It's good. I know you have your hands full with the toddler. Let's talk about the state of play. We talked before about why the studios are pushing some of their biggest budget films instead of just throwing them on demand. And what we've seen is that they were asking $20 a pop, and we just did it. We had a survey showing that people don't want to even pay that. But let's talk about the streamers, the big streamers. You know, the competition was ramping up. HBO Max was set to go and is set to go in May. And NBC Universal's Peacock, which is supposed to be ad-supported. You pay for HBO Max if you want it, and you don't have to pay for Peacock if you're willing to deal with ads. You know, people are saying, well, why don't they just hurry up and go? You know, we're all home. We all want programming. The issue is really whether they can make the launch dates that they had set in mind. As I think I said, HBO Max in May, Peacock was going to do a soft launch and then go broad in July. The technological challenges of getting these things launched, and you might remember Disney Plus had issues the first day, but these are big operations that require tons of digitizing and labor in the midst of all of this. The question really is, can they make the dates they'd set for themselves?
Yeah, and that's what we're told they are racing towards right now. I mean, you've got everybody working at home. You've got the challenge of making these things seamless on day one, because the last thing you want is to put all your hundreds of millions of dollars of marketing into a launch date, and then you go live and it doesn't work. That's a disaster. And you've got, you know, all of these challenges that are being thrown at them via this worldwide pandemic. First and foremost, Peacock now does not have the Olympics to launch off of. That was NBC Universal's big reason for putting Peacock's launch in July, was to piggyback on a lot of the Olympics-related content. They were going to show some of the lesser competitions there, and they were going to have commentary and after shows and interviews, and most importantly, be able to plug it on the 24-hour-a-day Olympics coverage. That's the linchpin at NBC. That is gone, so they're really going to have to launch Peacock now based on the shows. And they do have some great library stuff. They've got The Office, and they've got some originals, and, you know, a lot of the old NBC shows.
All that Dick Wolf stuff is very bingeable, I will note.
Yes, exactly. But, you know, it's not the Olympics, and that's going to be a challenge for them. And HBO Max is the same. Their big cornerstone is Friends. And the Friends reunion special, which is going to be the big lure for that launch date, that had some delays based on getting the Friends cast together because of the virus concerns. So they say that they're going to push production but still make the date. But my understanding is it hasn't been shot yet. And that's a big turnaround to get that on the air.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out if you socially distance the Friends, there's enough room in that living room for all of them. I don't know. People are also looking and talking, and have been for long before coronavirus, about Quibi, which is Jeffrey Katzenberg's and Meg Whitman's venture. These are supposed to be bite-sized things where, you know, if you're standing around with your phone or you have a few minutes, you can watch an installment of something. Now, this is aimed at a younger demographic, not children, but young adults. And the question went from the jump that everyone was asking is that even viable? Is that a thing? Is there proof of concept? I mean, people have YouTube, people have other options. And things that have been tried that were, you know, the idea of paying doesn't seem promising to a lot of analysts. However, you know, here we are in the midst of coronavirus. So Quibi is scrambling and hoping that this will play to their business advantage.
Yeah, this is a fascinating issue because Jeffrey Katzenberg and Meg Whitman are betting that there is a market for A-list top quality studio level content in the short form space on mobile. That, they argue, has never been tried before. All these other things like YouTube Premium and Go 90, which was Verizon's effort, all of that stuff was not the top level talent that Katzenberg has been able to line up through all of his studio relationships from 30 years in the business. So first of all, that would have been a iffy proposition to begin with. Then you throw the worldwide pandemic into this mix, and some argue that it actually helps Quibi in that you've got this big base of people who are now home and looking for things to do. Then there's others who say, well, it actually hurts them because this is not like Netflix and chill. This is content that is designed to be viewed on the subway or while you're waiting for your job interview to start, or all of these other out-of-home places on mobile where people just are right now. And I don't think Katzenberg and Whitman even have any idea whether there's going to be the same type of appetite for this content that they envisioned when they decided to launch this.
So we'll see. Do people, you know, in these times where work is becoming challenging for a lot of people and income is an issue, do they want to pay $5 or $8 if you skip the ads for Quibi? And what does Quibi do to counteract this? Let me turn to the agencies where, of course, they are dealing without income right now. They have some, you know, receivables that can come in, and that's going to keep them afloat. UTA has said that the various agents will take reductions in pay. The leadership is taking no pay. In an attempt to stave off layoffs, Paradigm has laid off, I think, more than 100 already. But I think it's clear that the agency most in the crosshairs right now is Endeavor. Ari Emanuel and Patrick Weitzel had major ambitions for the Endeavor to become this multifaceted company with all kinds of businesses. This is a story, as you know, they tried to go public in October. That was going to be late September, early October. They pulled their initial public offering. The market was jittery. And really the story they were trying to tell, that this company made up of lots of different parts, was synergistic and made sense, at that moment was not selling to Wall Street. And that's a big setback for Endeavor, because as they diversified, buying all these companies, they bought IMG, a company completely built around live events, art shows, fashion shows. You know, they bought UFC, or they were led a group that bought UFC. This is, you know, live fights. All their stuff is live events, so much of it. And they took on $4.6 billion in debt to buy those things. And now the IPO did not happen. That was supposed to raise some money to help pay down that debt in part, help to pay the partners who have been deferring some of their income, hoping to get rewarded. All of this stuff has now gone completely south. And Endeavor faces a humongous challenge of this staggering debt and a total unpredictable shutoff. What my sources tell me is you can't blame them for not anticipating a pandemic, of course, but they put the company in a place where everything had to go right, and everything went the absolute opposite of right.
Yeah, and it's interesting because Endeavor has a majority backer in Silver Lake, which is a giant private equity fund. And Silver Lake has been cheering on Ari Emanuel as he made all these purchases and took on all this debt and essentially turned this company into this 10-headed monster of a talent firm / sports and fashion entertainment powerhouse. And yet those moves have left the company exposed. And you saw it in the grim memo that Ari Emanuel sent to the staff this past week. You know, there was no, hey, you know, we will get through this. We will do this. Everyone buck up. It was, this is going to be tough. And we have really, really tough choices to make. And I think this is only the beginning of what we're seeing at Endeavor to essentially go into survival mode, where they've got to figure out what number of layoffs makes sense to keep the business afloat. Maybe they start to sell off some assets. You know, the nice silver lining in buying all these businesses is that they do have assets now, and they could sell off IMG or UFC or any of these things to raise money. I don't know the debt picture and whether, you know, whether the calculus there would make sense with any particular sale, but it is something that could be on the table.
Yeah, who is buying what? I mean, the silver lining is really Silver Lake, because Silver Lake has put so much money into Endeavor that they have, according to the people I talk to who are sophisticated about this much more so than I am, they have no choice. They have to help bail out and sort out Endeavor. What that looks like, whether Ari Emanuel gets his wings really severely clipped, he's said to have a very good relationship with the head of Silver Lake, I don't know. My sources find it very likely that Silver Lake comes in but exacts a very heavy price in terms of what Endeavor will look like and who gets to make those calls and how they will be made whole. All of these things are going to be very, very tough. And you know, the other thing I'll mention is that these partners, 180 partners, had a meeting on the 20th of March in which they were told that they were going to get to sell their equity and get a payday, even though the initial public offering that was supposed to really be the big thing wasn't going to happen. They were waiting until this April 5th chance to sell and get some money back out of the company. That's indefinitely postponed. And in the disclosures they had to make for the public offering, it was revealed that Ari Emanuel and Patrick Weitzel had each taken out $165 million each in 2017. So now you have a lot of partners, maybe they were sticking around for that April 5th IPO make good to happen. Now that's not on the cards anytime in the future that we can foresee. So it will be very interesting to see who, if anyone, is mobile and chooses to leave. I did talk to one partner who said he's sticking with Ari and Patrick and he thinks they built a great company. So
yeah, well, where else are they going to go right now with the entire industry reeling? So I think the choices are somewhat limited.
Yeah, but if you have a great list, maybe we'll see whether there's defections or people start their own companies and walk away. We'll see. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you.
That's Matt Bellany, editorial director of The Hollywood Reporter. Coming up after a short break, workers from across the industry tell us how they're getting by. You're listening to The Business from KCRW.
Introducing the KCRW donation car, designed to be recycled. This first-of-its-kind vehicle will save you time, space, and hassle by disappearing. Enjoy the luxury and comfort of turning your underused car into a donation worth hundreds, even thousands of dollars. The KCRW donation car, already in your garage, driveway, or on cinder blocks outside your house. Act now at kcrw.com/cars.
This is The Business, and I'm Kim Masters. Last week, we put out a call to people who work in the entertainment industry, asking them to share stories about how their lives have changed as the coronavirus pandemic shut Hollywood down. We heard from folks from across the industry, most feeling varying degrees of alarm, but there were also some strategies for coping and even signs of hope. With our producer, Caitlin Parker, and me working from home, we don't necessarily have access to our usual equipment, so we asked people to record themselves.
Hi, my name is Mario Contini. I'm a cinematographer out of Los Angeles area.
My name is Matt McCree. My last position in the industry was writer's PA on season 4 of Mr. Robot.
Hi, my name is Monica Haynes. I am a film costumer. I've been doing this work for about 30 years in the film industry.
My name is David Salcedo. I've been acting for about 10 years now and fortunate and blessed to be a working actor. I've been Shameless as a reoccurring. I did a guest star on Mayans. I did a couple episodes of Arrested Development.
One filmmaking duo even managed to record themselves together from their respective homes.
I'm Christina Beck, writer, director, actress, and part-time filmmaking professor.
I'm Beth Dewey. I'm also a director and a university professor of film and television.
Everyone we heard from is now more or less out of work. Dewey and Beck are still teaching remotely at Loyola Marymount University, but Dewey says they've been hit in other ways.
The way we see our work affected by the pandemic is that it was beginning to look a little bit better for female filmmakers, and we both had individual projects that we were getting off the ground.
Now meetings about those projects have been canceled. David Saucedo, the actor, isn't booking any new work.
The industry is completely shut down, so I don't have any income coming in from that other than residual checks, which should be coming in because April's coming up.
At first, costumer Monica Haynes thought there would be just a pause on finding outfits for her most recent movie job.
We all were told that our film would be down for about 2 weeks because of the current coronavirus pandemic. So we were told tools down. We went home Friday the 13th.
She quickly realized the work stoppage would be longer.
On Monday evening, my boss reached out to me and let me know that the film would not be coming back up and that we would all be laid off and pretty much have to look for other work from this point forward. I know I'm not the only person in the industry who's lost a job because of this. I actually have several friends who were on a job, about to start a job, on location or out of state, and were sent home because of this. Now we are all looking for work, or we're all staying home, as the case may be, because there is no work.
Even before the pandemic hit, assistant Matt McCree was struggling to find work in writers' rooms.
The industry has been moving towards the streaming model of shorter seasons, so it's felt harder to find jobs because writers' rooms don't last as long, and because of that, more people are out there looking. Mr. Robot wrapped last February, and I haven't been able to get on a show since then.
Still, he managed to line up something short-term.
Luckily, I was able to find temp work at an audience coordination company, which is basically a company that organizes live audiences for tapings of television shows. Well, large groups of people sitting right next to each other is definitely not what the doctor ordered, so the company I was working for had to lay off all of its employees. I think everyone there kind of knew it was coming, but still.
Matt McCree is trying to stay calm. His wife is employed as a writer's assistant on a TV show, so she's been able to keep working from home.
Right now, I kind of feel okay. There are frequent periods of unemployment in this industry for someone at my level. Shows end for the season, and you won't have work again until it picks back up or until you find a new job. So this feels like business as usual at the moment. What really worries me is how long this will last, and whether or not I can afford to live until I get another job. When you're at my level, you're making minimum wage, and it's tough to save up money to live on between seasons, and, you know, unemployment eventually runs out.
Cinematographer Mario Contini had also weathered rough seas before.
You know, working freelance in the film industry, it's not uncommon to have some time off. You know, quite often I find myself with a week, sometimes even more, where I have no jobs. And actually, last month was really slow. This month, I was quite looking forward to it. I had about 4 or 5 commercials lined up. And, you know, when you have the time off or you're on hiatus between gigs, you know, you start dipping into your savings a bit, but it's okay because you know there's something on the other side. You know, I right now just lost all of my work ahead and there is nothing being booked in the future. So at this point, it's definitely a little unnerving.
Like a lot of industry workers, several of the people we heard from had secondary jobs. But those have ended too. Here's David Saucedo.
Like any good actor, I've got a couple of side hustles going for those times. I sell vinyl and I also sell vintage items. And of course, most of that's dried up as well. So I'm not getting any income from that.
And Mario Contini.
You know, in the past, I kind of had a plan B and it was my rental business. I've invested in quite a bit of camera gear and, you know, that's helped take care of me when I'm not on set. But at this point, all productions are shut down, so my secondary source of income is now non-functional.
Meanwhile, Monica Haynes is looking ahead and knowing there may be some tough decisions.
Financially, I'm currently on unemployment. I did file this week. I haven't received it yet. I will be soon, hopefully. I'm considering refinancing my house so I could stay in my house. I've been relatively frugal, just going out for groceries and not spending the money that I do have in the bank unnecessarily, because I anticipate that this will go on for anywhere from 3 to 6 months, and I want to make sure that I have enough money to be able to support myself during that time.
With newly passed legislation, folks who make less than $99,000 a year may be getting a one-time financial boost from the feds. Meanwhile, David Saucedo has been in touch with his credit union.
I've applied for a loan, and it's interest-free for 2 years from one of my credit unions. I belong to First Entertainment Credit Union and SAG-AFTRA Credit Union. And for the most part, people have been really helpful about that. You know, you call people up and they, you know, are willing to work with you, maybe defer payments. And for the first time in 10 years, I did apply for unemployment. I'd never had to do that in the past, but things being the way they are, you have to do and reach out to wherever you can to try to get through this.
Matt McCree is hoping a GoFundMe might help him out.
Pay Up Hollywood, which is Liz Alper, John August, and Craig Mazin, has teamed up with some other industry folks to make a GoFundMe where writers and showrunners can donate money to help out assistants in the industry who lost their jobs. They were trying to raise $100,000, and as of right now, they raised over $500,000, which is fantastic. So I've applied to that, and maybe that can help out. Also, there's unemployment. I haven't really looked into loans. A loan doesn't feel great right now because I'm not exactly going to have a lot of money when things get better, and I'm already leaning real hard on credit cards to get by and also have student loans. So I'm trying to find more work and less loans.
What about help from the unions? Mario Contini's a member.
I'm a local 600 IOTC cameraman.
But?
The thing is I don't really work enough union hours to be able to get any health benefits or medical benefits. So, you know, I'm paying for my health insurance on my own. And, you know, unemployment, I did hear that, you know, that's an option. But it's a little tricky. I mean, you know, the amount that I can receive in unemployment is just a small, you know, a small portion of what I normally earn when I work.
Filmmakers Christina Beck and Beth Dewey, meanwhile, saw a rare opportunity just as everything was shutting down. Before the pandemic hit, they were working on a film starring Christina called Everything She Owns.
So we've been shooting this actually for a little while. It's a micro-budget feature with one character alone and isolated in the world is where we start our story about a 40-plus woman who happened to be wearing a fabulous party dress on the day she is suddenly forced to deal with an apocalyptic Los Angeles.
And originally we were shooting at Magic Hour every Sunday just to stay creative in between bigger projects. And you know, while we were shooting, we were also avoiding having anyone else in the frame just because we didn't want to have to get releases. We never really dreamed it would end up coming to fruition in this way.
Sadly, the world has caught up with our story.
Before the state instituted a shelter-at-home policy, Beck and Dewey took advantage of the newly empty LA streets, though even that felt a little weird.
It actually is pretty scary. I mean, we are in this very strange time right now. And it's incredibly sad, as fortunate as we felt of like, oh, yay, we get to shoot on Hollywood Boulevard and there's no one around and we would never be able to afford this. There was definitely this other reality, which is what's going on right now and why this very once busy street is completely empty and with a few people wandering around in not a great situation. And it's quite heartbreaking, actually.
As the crisis wears on, people are finding different ways to cope. Monica Haynes is taking a spiritual route.
I do have a morning meditation daily, as well as a group meditation once a month. And we've all come together to talk about this and find a way to get through it.
Matt McCree is trying to make the most of his time off and hoping his current video game of choice doesn't become instructive.
Doing some cooking, reading, catching up on TV, which is really kind of homework when you work in this industry, and trying to get some writing done. I've been playing a video game called The Last of Us, which is a father-daughter story set in an America that has collapsed after a pandemic, which is hopefully fiction, but I'm brushing up on my skills just to be safe.
David Saucedo is reconnecting with some old books and some old friends.
You know, I do read. I read. We've got a great library here at home, so that's always been a source for reading stuff. Of course, you know, friends on Facebook, reach out to folks there. But I also call people. I'd almost rather do that now than just send a text or a Facebook message, is to actually hear people's voices and connect with them. You know, I've got friends in the industry all over the country, so it's always nice to hear what's going on in their part of the country.
And Mario Contini has a few ways to occupy himself, including working on doing tricks on his bike.
I ride freestyle BMX, and that's something that I don't need a lot of space for. I actually can do that right on my driveway. I've been gardening a lot, and I think that's also really important in times like this to have access to food right in your backyard. And I do a lot of vegan cooking. You know, I could probably have my own YouTube channel, but I think there's enough people that do that already.
Contini is also planning some potential projects, but starting to realize that he may not be returning to the same working environment he left.
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of writing and researching on projects that I would like to do. However, once I start developing the idea further and I start putting it on paper, I start realizing, oh crap, this is not going to be that easy to achieve when, you know, we're purposely not being at work, so we're not transmitting this disease. And before that, it was like limited to groups of 10 people. I don't see us doing normal crews anymore. I see things kind of scaling down quite a bit until we're comfortable working in large groups again. And it's really unfortunate because the film industry is a very collaborative industry, you know, and you're definitely in close proximity with a lot of your crew. And, you know, your crew's your family. Your crew has your back. So to not bring certain talent on set because we're trying to limit the size of the crew, that's going to hurt the quality of work in the future.
While Contini ponders what's ahead, Writers Room PA Matt McCree is trying not to.
Honestly, I'm trying not to think too hard about the future, and I'm staying off of Twitter because it's too stressful. There are a lot of Facebook groups where industry assistants can connect, and being active in those has kind of helped a lot too. I hope we can get through this in a way that keeps people safe and doesn't completely collapse the economy. I guess I'm worried more about keeping people safe and healthy than about the money, though. It's a little frustrating to live in an age of endless wars and massive tax cuts for corporations, but be told we can't afford to keep people safe and healthy.
Costumer Monica Haynes is trying to be realistic and optimistic.
I think really the best way to handle what we're all going through is to treat each other with compassion and kindness, and understanding that we all have fears. None of us know what's going to happen over the next several months, but what we can control is our reaction to it, to each other. And hopefully we all will come out of it and we will be able to return to the work that we love sooner than later.
David Saucedo, too, has faith.
You know, you get those moments where, you know, I do get scared. You know, it's unsettling as to what's happening. But it truly is a roller coaster. You know, you've got good days, you've got bad days, and then you just have to roll with it because you just have to, you know, you've got to keep going. I do have a lot of faith in mankind and humanity. I think that we will be stronger for this, and we will come together, and this too shall pass.
Finally, Beth Dewey and Christina Beck are thinking about Hollywood's role in this larger crisis.
As storytellers, we have to ask the question, what are we really taking away from this as a society? And what are we doing now for the benefit of the many and not just the few?
And especially in Hollywood, you know, this place where people come to be somebody and do something and, you know, get something to feel like important in the world. I think what's really important in the world now is our connection to each other. And I'm aware of how lucky we are. I mean, there are so many people hit by this pandemic that do not have their basic needs met today. And it really brings home that this is the great equalizer. The future is clearly unknown. But if nothing else, punk rock has taught us that we get to express ourselves and have to, no matter what. And we will always need stories.
A huge thank you to Monica Haynes, David Saucedo, Matt McCree, Mario Contini, Christina Beck, and Beth Dewey for taking the time to share their stories and to serve as their own audio engineers. We'll go out with a coronavirus PSA, courtesy of Ugandan artists Bobby Wine and Nubian Lee.
But the good news is that everyone is a potential solution. Sensitize the masses to sanitize. Keep a social distance and quarantine.
And that's the business. Caitlin Parker produced and edited today's program, and Paul Smith mixed the show. And thank you to Mario Diaz for his indispensable help this week. You can stream the business as well as other great KCRW podcasts on the KCRW app. I'm Kim Masters. We'll see you next week on the business.